The meeting of the House Labor and Commerce Committee will come to order at 3:16 in room 124. Today is Wednesday, March 4th, 2015. Welcome, everyone. Members present are Representative Ledoux, Representative Tilton, Representative Josephson, and Representative Cato, and myself, Representative Hughes. And so let the record reflect we have a quorum to conduct business. And Chair Olson and Representative Culver were previously excused. Reminder, please turn or silence your cell phones. And we have one bill on the agenda today, and that is HB 123, establishing the Marijuana Control Board. And with us to present the bill is Michaela Fowler with the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development. So if you want to come forward. We also, just so everyone knows, we have Cynthia Franklin. I don't know if she is online yet, but she will be calling in. And also we have Chris Kennedy with the Office of Administrative Hearings online for questions, just so you're aware. So Michaela, please put yourself on the record and proceed.
Through the chair, members of the committee, my name is Michaela Fowler. I'm the legislative liaison for the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development. If it's acceptable, I'll briefly introduce the bill and walk through the sectional. Cindy Franklin should be online. She's the director of the ABC board, and she will answer any questions. We appreciate you taking the time to hear HB 123. This is the governor's bill to create a marijuana control board. Following passage of that Measure 2, Department of Commerce began exploring different regulatory structures that would be appropriate for regulating marijuana. As I'm sure you know, the initiative specifies the legislature has the authority to create a separate control agency for marijuana. If no control board is created, it defaults to the ABC board. Initially, there was a high level of interest in having a separate board and agency to regulate marijuana. However, the more that we looked into it, we realized that both logistically and economically, it did not make sense to set up an entirely new agency and board. We also feel that it's not appropriate to have alcohol be the only board regulating the substance. And so we came up with this hybrid solution, which is that the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board agency would support two boards, the Marijuana Control Board and the Alcohol Beverage Control Board. The hybrid proposal you have in front of you allows us to capitalize on the experience of ABC staff, especially the enforcement staff, and reduces the cost associated with standing up an entirely new entity, while it still achieves the intent of the initiative and we think allows us to meet the statutory deadlines set out within that initiative. The majority of the bill in front of you is parallel to statutes that set up the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board. There are some changes as a result of it being a different substance, and there are also some changes that reflect a Title IV working group product that was a rewrite of the Title IV, which we anticipate a bill coming in front of the legislature during this session, which will include suggestions from over 60 stakeholders who participated in a multi-year process. Starting on Section 1. Section 1 amends Title IV by naming the director of the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board as also the director of the Marijuana Control Board. It also amends the process for appointment and removal of the director and requires a majority vote from both boards in order to remove.
Madam Chair.
Oh, Representative Ledoux.
Is there any reason, what's the rationale for changing who may remove the director from the board to the governor?
It was never the governor who could remove the director. Currently, the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board is the entity that can remove the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board executive director. So this amends it so that both the Marijuana Control Board and the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board have a say in that because the same executive director will serve both boards.
Follow up?
No. Thank you.
Representative Cato.
Madam Chair, thank you through the chair, Ms. Fowler. A question I have is in regard to removal of the executive director. So if we have two boards that are being administered by a single executive director and one board moves to remove the executive director, what happens?
The other board would have to also concur with that. recommendation. So both boards separately would have to have a majority vote to remove the executive director. If one voted to and one voted against, we would end up in a situation where the executive director would remain.
Madam Chair, follow.
We'll take one more question, then I'm going to have Ms. Fowler go all the way through, and then we'll go with questions then. So go ahead, Representative Ledoux.
I understand your answer to that question, and I was wondering if you could point me to where in this bill it actually says that.
Absolutely. You look at... it is section... Sorry. Removal of the chair is in section 4, I believe. Yes. Section 1738085, line 5, page 5. The board may remove the director by majority vote of the full membership. And then that language is reiterated in section 1, the marijuana section, where it says the director may be removed by a majority vote of the full membership of the board and a majority vote of the full membership of the Marijuana Control Board. So it's in there two places in both sets of statute. It's a little bit more confusing because Title IV is separate from Title 17, and so this one position is in two different titles.
Thank you.
Okay, proceed with walking us through the bill, please.
Thank you. Section 2 of the bill establishes the five-member Marijuana Control Board in Title 17 with designated seats for public health, rural, public safety, and industry. This is one of the sections that reflects the way we wish alcohol was regulated, not the way the board is currently structured. There is no requirement for a public health or public safety member on the current board. And we feel that especially for the marijuana industry, with this new industry and new concerns that are not widely known, it's exceptionally important that we have both of those representatives on the board. Section 3 establishes terms of office for board members and the chair, sets out requirements for board meetings, and provides for board member per diem. It also outlines the powers and duties of the board to propose and adopt regulations, establish qualifications for licensure, review applications, hear appeals for actions from the director, reduce the area of a license premise, and adopt regulations. This section also establishes the board's enforcement powers as mirroring those of the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board outlined in 0406110, and provides for appointment and removal of the director and establishes those duties. Section 4 defines the board in 1738-901, which is the reference to the board in the initiative language, in that initial initiative language, to mean the Marijuana Control Board as created by this act. Section 5 defines director as the director of the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board and the Marijuana Control Board. It defines registration to mean registration or licensure as determined by regulation. Section 6 amends the duties of the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development to include providing clerical and administrative support for the Marijuana Control Board. This is mirrored language from Alcohol Beverage Control Board. Section 7 amends uncodified law for initial appointment of board members. Section 8 provides for transition on regulations such that should the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board adopt new regulations prior to the Marijuana Control Board being created, those regulations could be implemented, enforced, amended, or repealed by the Marijuana Control Board, and provides that regulations adopted by the board in any transition period take effect after the effective date of the act. Section 9 provides for an immediate effective date.
Okay, thank you. Are there any questions for Ms. Fowler?
Madam Chair.
Representative Keto.
Thank you, Ms. Fowler. Back on Section 2, where we're identifying the membership of the board, we have a requirement that there be two industry members.
Yes.
And that those industry members need to have experience within the previous 5 years within the marijuana industry, and I'm wondering how that will be implemented when we don't have a marijuana industry in Alaska.
And Our intent would be that those positions would be filled by people who have been active in establishing, in passage of the initiative or in lobbying on behalf of the marijuana industry. We would have to take a very broad perspective in that first time period, because certainly we don't mean people who have been involved in the illegal marijuana industry over the last 5 years.
Representative Keto.
Thank you. And I guess as a follow-up, I do see a difference in advocacy for a position or an interest and an active role in managing or overseeing a business. And if we are asking these individuals to be putting together regulations to regulate a business, I'm concerned that if they don't have experience in the industry that includes that business component, that our regulations might not accurately protect public health and safety. And not really a question, it's just a comment.
Thank you.
I have a related question. We might need to bring Cynthia on for this one, but I was told recently that since we're attempting here to regulate marijuana like alcohol, that we are the only state that on our alcohol control board have two industry people. In fact, most states have zero industry people, and there's only one other state that has one industry person. Is that accurate? I want to just verify.
I would need to call my lifeline for that one. Is Cindy Franklin available?
Yes, Cynthia, are you there?
Yes, thank you. Madam Chair, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Please state your name for the record, and if you heard the question, please respond.
My name is Cynthia Franklin. I'm the director of the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board. I did hear the question. It is true that the statement that you made about being the only state that has our Alcoholic Beverage Control Board set up in this way. I will say as a caveat that the way that different states regulate alcohol is as varied as the colors in the rainbow. And so there are 15 states in the U.S. that are control states that sell the alcohol themselves. So, you know, when you look at whether or not there's industry representation on a board, states that do the business of selling the alcohol themselves, theoretically you could argue the entire board is in the industry. So there are not that many states that have an all-volunteer alcoholic beverage control board in the way that Alaska does. So it's unusual in many facets. The only other thing that I would add in response to the series of questions that ends with this one is that the way that this bill reads is that up to two members of the board could be employed by industry. So there's no requirement that there be industry representation, only a limit on the total number of people on the board that can have that industry connection. Unlike the other designations, if there were fewer than two industry people, they would just be replaced with general public members. And so I think that in terms of getting started with a board like this, potentially you could look at, if you look at the transitions at the end of the bill and you look at one board member initially being appointed for a one-year term, that might be a way that the boards and commissions office could address Representative Keto's concerns that there's not really an industry established yet, and put someone of the kind of the bridge industry member, such as Ms. Fowler described, someone who had been advocating on behalf of the industry, into the very short one-term seat to be turned over as soon as an industry representative is identified.
Okay. I have a couple of background questions, and we'll go to Representative Keto. You were talking about other states, and of course there's a few other states that are ahead of us as far as marijuana commercialization. Do the other states have boards made up similar to what's being proposed in this legislation, or can you tell us how they've set their boards up as far as membership?
Madam Chair, yes. Colorado does not have a board. They have a marijuana enforcement division. Those are all state employees regulating marijuana within their Department of Revenue. So they don't have a board system at all. In Washington State, the Washington Liquor Control Board regulates marijuana. They don't regulate liquor because they were a control state where all of the liquor in the state was sold by the state. And a few years ago, they privatized and went to a private liquor industry and dismantled their board's regulatory authority over alcohol. So they have their board members in Washington are state employees. They have what amounts to 3 board meetings a week. So it's a very different system from the system that we have here. We met the Oregon folks when we were in Colorado, and they are a control state. They have no local options regarding marijuana, and they are a state employee agency along with state-employed board members. And as far as I know, Oregon the Oregon Initiative gave control to their state liquor control board without the option for their legislature to create a separate board. So the way that I haven't heard yet how and if they're going to expand their board in terms of how they're going to address the added job given to the Liquor Control Board of regulating marijuana.
Okay, a bit of trailblazing there then. And one more background question before we go to Representative Keto. The public health, law enforcement, the way you about it, it's written in the bill, and as far as the director's background and how that relates to the makeup, I understand that there's something similar proposed in the Title IV revisions. Is that what this is based on?
That's correct, Madam Chair. That was a very carefully crafted compromise in the role of the ABC subcommittee to the Title IV stakeholders' work. There were public health representatives on the stakeholders' group that really wanted to see the ABC board more evenly balanced with less industry focus. And there was a real resistance from a lot of stakeholders to expand as a board and add numbers because it is an all-volunteer board. It's a 5-member board, and as you know from your work there, it's very difficult to get a lot of people in one place at the same time, and the board meetings that we have are heavy working meetings. There are a lot of tasks to be accomplished. So the compromise reached was that the background of the director would be taken into account in balancing the board out because the feedback in the stakeholders group, and most of that occurred before I was director of the agency, is that the director has quite a bit of influence on the board's work. And so if, for instance, a member of the liquor industry had been appointed as the agency director, one of the liquor industry seats would then come off the ABC board and replaced by a public member. The same if the background of the director is a public health background or a public safety background. So the director doesn't vote, but the background of the director is taken into consideration in balancing the composition of the board.
Okay, thank you. Representative Keto.
Yes, thank you. Cynthia, you had mentioned that 2 people did not have to be from industry, but I guess I'm maybe reading statute a little differently under 1738.080, subparagraph C. It talks about not more than 2, which seems to imply that at least 2 would be industry. The way I'm reading the other items, it says one person shall be from public safety sector, one person shall be from the public health sector, one person shall be from the rural area, and not more than 2 should be actively engaged in the marijuana industry. So it seems to imply that there will be 2 from the industry, but not more than 2. So that's something that I don't know. I think it seems to indicate to me there will be 2 from industry. And I guess that concern still remains if we have a transitional period where somebody who is an advocate for the legalization is in office at, or in the on the board as the board is trying to develop regulations that govern the commerce or the business aspects of the licensees, I do have a concern about not nowhere in here, because we're in a startup phase, do we have anybody that has any requirement for any business experience? And I think that could be very important for us, especially in the first term as we're trying to set up licensing requirements and regulations that are going to be governing these businesses.
Representative Keto, through the chair, I think the difference between Shelby from the public health sector and Shelby from a rural area is the term may in the sentence regarding actively engaged in the marijuana industry. So the copy of the bill I have in front of me says not more than two people may be actively engaged in the marijuana industry. And that is where I'm reading that flexibility into this bill, that it doesn't say shall, and so therefore if the governor appointed a business person who was not actively engaged in the marijuana industry, or if at first it was impossible to find appropriate candidates for the board who were actively engaged in the marijuana industry, since it was not an industry yet, that appropriate persons with a business background could be appointed by the governor during these first years. That's the way I read it, and that I was basing my comments about the flexibility built in those two positions into that word may. I agree that it's super challenging. Many things about creating this set of laws and regulations enacting 1738 seem to be chicken and egg scenarios, and it's going to be very challenging, I think, even if this bill passes, for the governor to initially make these appointments. And there's certainly been a lot of interest from a lot of people in having an impact on the implementation of this law, and a lot of interest has been expressed to me personally and to our agency by people who are interested in being on this board. So there's going to be some tough calls made, for sure.
Any follow-up?
Yes, no, separate question or a different question.
Representative Keto.
Thank you. And I guess another question, I guess, as we're looking at the board makeup, we've got three designated, health sector, public safety, and rural area. So we've got two available seats left, not more than two from industry, and then there's a remaining that can be from public. There could be a circumstance in which two are engaged in marijuana industry and there's no spot available for a person from the general public. So I guess I would also have a concern about not having a designee that is just representing general public. If that's the case, if we designate another one from general public, then we would end up with only one that could be marijuana industry. I suppose the general public may be marijuana industry, but I'm just kind of thinking out loud here, trying to figure out what the board's going to look like.
I'll just point out that, Cynthia, you can elaborate, but that paragraph says of the board members and the director, so we're really six, the five plus the one. So we're six, and then the industry is a may, and the public's a shall, so you would have to have one person from the general public on. Is that correct, Cynthia?
Madam Chair, right. The way that it works is there would be six people's background to consider, including the director's. If the director's background is any of the designations, any of the three designations, industry, public health, or public safety, then the seat on the board would be filled by a member of the general public. And, of course, the rural public member is a public member, but from the designated rural area. So, the only situation where Representative Keto's example would apply would be if the background of the director was not any of the three designations. So if the director was appointed and came from a background that was not a public health background, not a public safety background, and not an industry background, and there were two marijuana industry representatives on the board and neither of them was replaced, then you would have a situation where the only public member on the board would be the rural public member. So there's a lot there, and as I said, this this composition was crafted after months and months of input and quite controversial meetings about what a board regulating alcohol should look like. And so there were many voices at that table from, you know, an established industry, the alcohol industry, from public health, from public safety, and from more general public member types at the stakeholders table that came up with and approved this compromise in an attempt to keep the board small enough to be workable. So recognizing that if the legislature were to create a larger board or expand the board, that you would have to consider, make sure that, you know, that you could always reach a majority vote. You just add one member, public member, then you'd have six, and you could theoretically have ties. So those were all considerations that went into that work around this board composition, which we took from the Title IV suggested revisions and brought over into this bill.
Follow up?
So I guess we're talking about a director position. I guess I'm a little confused. The director that you're talking about, is that the state employee that is the executive director of the board? And does that person have voting rights on the board?
Representative Keto, through the chair, that is the director to whom I'm referring. And no, they do not have voting rights. Their background is simply considered in board composition. And as I said, the reason that that came about was because both the industry, the alcohol industry, the public health members of the stakeholders group, and the public safety members of the stakeholders group all expressed the opinion, strong opinion, that the background of the board director, because this is a volunteer board that meets five times a year, for alcohol, the background of the director is influential in the day-to-day operations of the agency, and the board, the Alcohol and Beverage Control Board Chair Bob Klein, basically stated in meetings of the role of the ABC that the background of the director matters as much as the background of the board members, because so much of the work of this agency is then kind of offline, not in board meetings, because they're really just meeting five times a year, getting a lot of approvals and transfers and those kind of activities done in those meetings. And then day-to-day, if you look through both this bill and Title IV, you see a lot of delegation to the director.
I'm going to take the prerogative to ask a question just because I know Representative Keto has to leave, and I think it might be something he's interested in, because I'd like to focus for a moment on the rural member. Curious whether this is fashioned after the sideboards for any other rural members on other boards, as far as the 180 days within the five preceding years, which is equivalent to about 6 months. And then also the 6,000, the population of 6,000. I should know the population of Palmer, which is in my district. I know it hovers around 6,000, but I don't consider that. I don't think that would be an intent that someone would come from Palmer, in that it's in a core area of about 100,000. So I was just wondering if that 6,000 number is a number that's used throughout statute for rural membership. Could you just talk to us a little bit about that, Cynthia?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, the language in this bill about what constitutes a rural public member being from that small of a community is identical to the language in Title IV. Whether or not that is language that is used to define a rural public member on other boards is something I unfortunately can't answer. I don't know. The language about the 180 days came directly out of the suggested Title IV revisions. Because currently, as the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board exists today, it does not have these public safety and public health designations. It only has industry designations. And in crafting the public health and public safety designations for the composition, the revised composition of the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board, questions were raised about what would constitute that background. And so that language that you see there was developed in order to help define and help kind of corral whether or not someone actually had that background for purposes of satisfying the board composition requirement. And it was added in the Title IV revisions to the rural public member, I believe. I was not present for the meetings where that those discussions took place, but it's my understanding, just to make sure that the rural public would not be satisfied, for instance, by someone who used to live in a rural area but no longer does. In other words, to bring consistency to the designations across the board and say, if we're going to, you know, we're going to use the same standard to determine if someone is from a rural area that we're using to determine someone's background for purposes of the other designations. So that language is new to this bill, that is also contained in the draft language for the Title IV revisions for the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board. The under 6,000 language exists in Title IV and has been used for many years to help determine a rural public member.
Okay, thank you for that. I would think that the differences, having, you know, having lived myself in very rural situations, that it would be far different, and I'm just concerned that you know, a town down on the Kenai Peninsula or in the Mat-Su Valley that is around that are under 6,000 wouldn't really be what I'm thinking would need to be on the board. So we might want to look at that further, and if that 6,000 was in there a while ago, it might be good to look at that again. So I think Representative Ledoux had a question earlier.
Yeah, I did. So I gather that the idea for including the background of the director in considering the makeup and the composition of the board and director, that came from the current ABC board? Is that correct?
Representative Ledoux, through the chair, that idea came from the Title IV stakeholders group, which was a group of over 60, sometimes 70 stakeholders looking at Title IV revisions. There was a subcommittee called Role of the ABC, and that subcommittee, one of the major items that they set out to look at and revise, suggest revisions if necessary, was the composition of the board in reaction to some thoughts over the years that the board was listening to the industry side. And those thoughts developed about the influence of the director. Fortunately, those discussions happened without me, and before I came on board, I just became the director of this agency in September of 2014, and by that time, this group had been working for over 2 years on these issues. It was a very controversial subject. The alcohol industry fought back very hard against the idea of losing any of their designations on the ABC board, expanding the board, having these other designations. And so, as I mentioned before, this compromise and the influence of the director was agreed upon not only by the Title IV Review Committee, but Jeff Jesse, I believe, who is the executive director of the Mental Health Trust, and Bob Klein, who's the current chair of the ABC board, specifically worked on this compromise together and reached agreement on, and both stand behind this compromise as a way to balance industry interests without having to numerically expand the board to a point where theoretically it could become a less work-friendly board, because they have so much work to accomplish on those five occasions when they get together that that was part of the feedback from the board chair himself. So that was certainly not something that was my idea. And in terms of how much influence the director had at the time those recommendations were being made and crafted, I was brand new to the agency and actually didn't have any idea that anyone thought I had any influence at all. So that was work that was done by that group.
So follow up here,
Representative Ledoux.
So I'm looking right now at 04, 06, 020 appointment and qualifications of the ABC board. And has that been revised, or is that in the works to be revised? Because I'm looking at that, and I'm not seeing that that's including or considering the background of the director.
Representative Ledoux, through the chair, that is part of the rewrite document that was put forward. We do anticipate, I know that the chair and Jeff Jesse have spoken to legislators about potentially carrying that, and I'd be more than happy to provide the committee and yourself with a copy of their suggestions.
So that's...
It is not in current statute.
All right. Thank you.
Sorry for that confusion. Representative Josephson.
Yes. Through the chair, Ms. Fowler, the subsection C on page 4, it's the only subsection C there. What is imagined here? I don't really know. I'm trying to envision what's going on here when we talk about reducing an area designated.
Representative Josephson, through the chair, that is carried straight out of Title IV, but I would defer to Ms. Franklin.
Okay. Thank you.
Representative Josephson, through the chair, the way that alcohol is licensed is through a premises diagram. So when we're controlling that substance, we want to know exactly where on the premises of any business that substance is going to be contained. A good example of this is a recent licensee who applied for a beer wine license with a restaurant and had submitted a diagram where they were going to serve beer and wine on a patio that was not that required a server to cross a public sidewalk to reach the patio. This provision gave us the authority to allow them to serve beer and wine in their restaurant and to excise off the part of the designated premises where we could not allow beer and wine to be sold because they would be walking out of a licensed premise across a public area and back into an unconnected premises where they propose to then serve that beer and wine. So this just gives the board authority to reduce the premises without having to throw out an application and make a licensee start over to say, you know, we're going to forward your application to the board for approval, that the board or the staff can suggest to the board that the license premise be reduced in order for this substance to be in a controllable area.
Got it. Thank you.
Are there other questions? We have Chris or Cynthia. Is there anything else that you would like to cover for us or bring to our attention while you're online?
No, thank you for having me, for allowing me to testify on the bill.
Okay, thank you. And Chris, I understand you're online and you were here for questions, but now that you've been listening in, is there anything that you would like us to know?
Madam Chair, Chris Kennedy, Deputy Chief of the Office of Administrative Hearings. No, I was just here for questions because I believe a small fiscal note has been submitted on our behalf, but there's nothing particularly remarkable about the bill that we're anxious to comment on without any questions.
Well, while you've got us and while you brought up the fiscal note, can you just give us a real quick moment on that and talk to us about it?
All right. Well, this is a... It's a fairly standard kind of fiscal note that we would submit any time that a new board or commission is established, which is likely to send casework to the Office of Administrative Hearings when they are hearing discipline cases or when they have administrative hearings resulting from denials of licenses. We anticipate, we did check with the people drafting this bill to see whether it was their intent for the hearings coming out of this board to go to the Office of Administrative Hearings, and they said that it was, and that would be in keeping with what happens with the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board right now. The figures we see as our cost to run these hearings were taken directly from what we're spending to run hearings for the Alcoholic Beverages Control Board. I simply projected that it's a bit of a guess, but I projected that the hearing load from the Marijuana Board would be about the same as the hearing load for regulating alcohol. However, it has been pointed out to me since that there might be quite a surge in hearings in the very early part of this board's history as people litigate perhaps a little bit more vigorously over their initial licensure and as people try to find out the lay of the land in the regulation. And so this is probably quite a conservative fiscal note, at least for FY 16 and 17.
So Chris, as follow-up to that, do you plan to revise the fiscal note? If you're expecting that surge,
well, I'm looking at my chief LJ here. I think maybe we would I'm getting a nod here that we probably should look again and revise it slightly upward. I don't think it'll be anything dramatic, but we want to look a little more closely at what the hearing surge has been historically when a brand new area has been regulated, and that's a little bit hard to project.
And Representative Josephson, and before he asks his question, I'm going to have a question for Cynthia, so I hope she is hanging online if she's still there. But go ahead, Representative
Thank
Josephson.
You. On the appellate question, the first question I have is, there's reference to the APA. Is that how you're linked into the process? In other words, There's no direct reference to the Office of Administrative Hearings, but is that assumed because of the reference to the APA?
No, Representative Josephson through the chair. The link to the Office of Administrative Hearings came from an inquiry to the drafting staff as to whether they intended OAH to be handling these hearings. We do not automatically get all APA hearings in Alaska, but the vast majority of board and commission hearings that are held in Alaska are held by us.
Okay. And as a follow-up to that, the only reference to hearing appeals in this bill is on page 4, subsection B4, and it says that the board would hear appeals in the first instance. Would you then have to accept their facts, or how does that work?
Representative Josephson, through the chair, the way that works with virtually every board or commission in the state is that they actually do not hear the evidence firsthand. As a volunteer board, they're simply usually not interested in sitting through what are potentially multi-day hearings. So we have a statutory procedure for hearing cases on behalf of boards and commissions, and the evidence is presented to us. And we make findings and conclusions and submit a proposal to the board.
Okay.
The board typically deliberates with us and makes a decision during one of its regular meetings.
Okay. I mean, just as a follow-up on that point, this bill would give the board some appellate authority that presumably could then be appealed onward from there. And were you aware of that?
Yes, Mr. Josephson, through the chair. Yes, I'm aware of that. We exercise most of these hearings, and this is, for example, with the ABC board, their statute is is the same. It gives the board the authority to hear the appeals, and then the board refers those hearings to us. We hear them, and then the board makes the decision. So we would be the hearing arm of the marijuana board.
Got it.
That is, we would be part of the appeal to the board.
Okay.
The appeal on from the board is to the court system, I believe.
Okay. Thank you. And my question, and perhaps Ms. Fowler or Cynthia could answer, and it's just regarding the other fiscal note, the ABC board fiscal note that's coming in a little under $1.6 million. And wondering, first of all, did that survive the House Finance Subcommittee process? And then just, I was reading the narrative, and it's not really clear to me how that 1.6 is going to be used. So if you could please elaborate a bit for us.
Absolutely.
Madam Chair, I guess I can take this, and Ms. Fowler could maybe chime in if she has anything additional. It is my understanding that budget did not survive the House Finance process, and the figure there for the FY16 budget represents some additional staff, 4 additional staff. We currently have 10 staff statewide regulating alcohol. We had an ask for 2 additional staff in our FY supplemental because this work has begun before the FY16 budget process is done. And 4 additional staff in the FY16 budget, some costs that go along with that staff, some travel costs for enforcement officers to travel to parts of the state where they are not, their offices are not located, to check on licensees. And there is quite a large chunk of that is a $500,000 budget item for a database. Currently, the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board is a paper-based agency, and what we have heard from other states that have legalized marijuana and have commercial marijuana establishments is there is a constant demand for data. In addition, there is a public safety justification for tracking the marijuana sold in commercial marijuana establishments to make sure that it was actually grown in legal commercial marijuana grow establishments. And so that requires some electronic support that we don't currently have in the agency. They call it seed to sale software, and it's an electronic means of tracking the product to make certain that you don't have black market marijuana funneling into your legalized distribution facilities and retail establishments. So that is more detail about that budget. It's all broken out in the governor's budget, I believe.
Okay, and just because you said it and I didn't quite catch you, did you say it was removed in the House Finance Subcommittee process then? Is that what you said, or you said it's still in there?
I'm going to punt that question to Ms. Fowler, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The funding was removed in House Finance, and we were asked to submit it in fiscal notes.
Okay, and as clarification, there are 2, Cynthia, there are 2 employees now with the ABC board, and this was requesting 4 more. Is that correct?
There are 2 additional employees added in an FY15 supplemental budget request that has not yet been approved, and then 4 additional employees in this FY16 budget request.
And you have 2 now, so this would be a total of 8 then? Is this, or a total of 6?
We have 10 employees statewide. We have 3 licensing employees. We have 5 enforcement officers. And we have 2 administrative employees. And then there were 2 in the supplemental and 4 in this. If all the budgets passed as fleshed out, it would be bring the number of statewide staff working on alcohol and marijuana to a grand total of 16 employees.
Okay, and I would just suggest, I think the narrative ought to be as far as the electronic means for tracking. I think that would be helpful if some of that were in there if you want to go back. And I'm not sure who was first, but...
doesn't matter.
Okay, Representative Ledoux?
So, breaking down this fiscal note even further, okay, you've got... personnel services for 610.5. So then, what are services? Is that what you're talking about, the database? Is the 500 grand for the database part of the 756,000 for services? And if so, what's the other approximately 250,000 for?
Representative Ledoux, through the chair, yes, that is where the $500,000 for the database is contained. I believe that, I'm sorry, I apologize to the committee. I don't have the full breakout of the budget in front of me, but I could submit, if I could submit a full breakout to the committee, I would appreciate doing that rather than guessing or misstating exactly what that figure represents.
So, and then I guess the other question is, what's the capital outlay then? I guess I would kind of think that the database would be a capital thing, but I guess you could get back to us on that. Can I just get one follow-up? So how come there's no costs in 27, 2018, and over to 2021? I mean, we've got... everything that's included in fiscal year 2016, and then there's nothing projected outward.
Representative Ledoux, through the chair, first of all, part of the commodities funding, I believe it's in commodities, although I could end up smacking myself, it might be in services, but I believe it's in commodities, is we are required to supply computers, desks, vehicles for enforcement officers, so the increased personnel will increase, so some of those costs are from that. But also on the fiscal year, because it was included in the governor's new base budget, and so that's why there's nothing that shows up in 17, 18, 19, 20. If it had been in the appropriation, you would have also seen that in the out years. And so should the funding for marijuana not be re-entered into the House budget when the budget passes the full House, then if we were to revise this note, you would see the funding that's currently included in Governor's fiscal year 16 request in the appropriation requested, and then you would also see it in the out years.
Follow up?
So since we are doing this bill, and since fiscal notes and accurate fiscal notes are all part of the legislature's analysis in doing the particular bill that's before us, I guess I would like to see the projections.
Representative Ledoux, through the chair, part of the reason that we had originally submitted it in the format that we have is because we saw these costs as the cost of the initiative. Because we couldn't attach a fiscal note to the initiative when it was passed, we had put the costs of this is what it's going to cost us whether a board is created or not. But I absolutely understand what you're saying, and I believe you're going to get exactly what you're asking for.
All right. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I would say, Ms. Fowler, it would be helpful for us to know out of that 1.574, what is a one-time? Mm-hmm. That would be very helpful if you could provide that to us.
We'd be happy to provide that.
Representative Josephson.
Well, I guess what I'm trying to figure out, and it sounds like Ms. Fowler knows this process pretty well, if this bill were to not pass, and I know there are other companion bills, then the Alcohol Control Board would create its own, would take care of it, more or less, without our participation. However, it wouldn't have any resources, as of today, to do it with. And I'm just wondering the best way to remedy that. I mean, short of going to the Finance Committee and pounding on the door. Am I missing something?
Representative Josephson, through the chair, at this point, we are amending fiscal notes for all marijuana bills to include the costs for the entire implementation in every bill. Clearly, we only would need that money out of one of the bills, but since it's impossible to predict which one will pass, we are trying to sort of cover our bases to the extent that we can, and that is part of the reason that we had originally asked for the funding in the budget rather than asking for it in a fiscal note. But we certainly understand also that there's additional time and committees to debate what funding is necessary and how we want to implement by putting it in fiscal notes. So we do understand the intent of the House Finance Committee's recommendation.
Are there any other questions? Oh, thank you very much. It's Michaela and Cynthia, too, for coming back online, and Chris for being with us. There are some other things that we'll be looking at. We're going to hold this bill over for that purpose. And so I'll set the bill aside at this time. And if there's no other business to come before the committee, this meeting is adjourned at 4:14.